This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, the band Lake Street Dive. Guys, welcome to JPR.
Hi.
Thanks for coming by. Here. If I understand correctly, you were all at some point New England Conservatory students and all studying, what, jazz? Traditional jazz?
Yep.
That didn't seem to last long, right?
Yeah. Well, we were in school there together for 4 years and we played some jazz and we started, the band was pretty jazzy when we first started, but not intentionally, I'd say.
How did the four of you end up coming together, right? Because you're all obviously different instruments, and in school you have your own classes and probably small ensemble things and stuff like that, but how did the four of you meet and come together and realize that there was a possibility here?
Well, it was a small school, so it was definitely easy to bump into each other. Bridget and I were in our first ensemble in school ever. This is Mike, the drummer. And McDuck, I was on the same floor as, you know, in the dorms, and he was the one who finally got us all together. We all pretty much knew who each other were, at least.
I would imagine, Mike, the other Mike in the band, that everybody at the school is pretty darn talented. So how do you identify people that you think you can gel with in terms of making music as a cohesive group?
Finely tuned instinct? These three spoke to me on a certain level. Sounds facetious, but I'm not being facetious. That, you know, they were fun to talk to and easy to work with outside of this band, you know, in the classes and the ensembles that we played in together, and were obviously talented. I didn't know that I'd be spending every single day with them for 12 years. I think had I known that, I probably wouldn't have made any other choices, quite frankly.
You guys are the greatest. And is it true that the band name also comes from you? This is named after a location in Minneapolis, right?
There's a street. It's called Lake Street. That has a lot of bars on it. It's kind of an homage to a Lake Street of the past. My uncle lived in Minneapolis and was a trumpet player. And actually, this is his trumpet that I'm holding right now. And he lived on Lake Street and was able to kind of walk to all of his gigs. And it was kind of that, imagined past that was sort of the inspiration for the band name, kind of like what a scenario where I hoped we could play as opposed to fancy jazz places.
Yeah. Is there any semblance of any kind of venue or club in that area now that you guys could play?
Not really in that location anymore. It's cleaned up quite a bit. We play at First Ave in Minneapolis, which is an iconic place and a really a place that I remember from, you know, growing up around there, going to shows there. And it's so awesome that we get to play it now. Yeah. It's kind of like a bucket list sort of thing.
Lake Street Dive, my guests, live here in the studios. Their newest record, though there will be another one coming soon, we'll talk about that in a bit, it's called Bad Self-Portraits. Information at lakestreetdive.com. What do you guys want to play first?
We're going to play a song called Clear Space. Take the fall.
I wanna make it easy on you, baby.
Easy on you, baby.
I wanna make it easy on you, baby.
Easy on you, baby.
I wanna make it easy.
That is Lake Street Dive live here on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune that goes back to an earlier EP, and if I remember right, it's the only original on that EP. One of the things that I've noticed about your tunes, the original tunes, both from the EP and those that show up on Bad Self-Portraits, they sound like they could be covers. They've got this familiarity to them and this melodic sense to them that they just seem like tunes we already know. Is there a specific way that your tunes come together? Does one of the members of the band do a little bit more of the writing, or do they come from all different directions?
Well, the writing is shared throughout the band, so everybody contributes songs, and everyone has a pretty different writing style. If you sort of listen closely, you can kind of start to pick out everyone's sort of individual things that they do. But then, you know, you bring a song to the band and it sounds the way it sounds because one person wrote it, and then we apply the Lake Street Dive aesthetic to it. We sort of smear it with what we feel like is what we do, which is something we cultivated. Yeah, it's like a bagel. Yeah, it's like a thick smear of stuff. And we pull from very familiar things. We pull from things that the Beatles did, things that Motown did, yeah. And I think that's sort of what provides this sort of adhesiveness to everyone's very different writing styles.
Hmm. Is it true early on you guys were attempting to do like a free jazz country crossover thing?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
The key word being try. I don't think it was ever successful, which, you know, I mean, if it were successful, that would have been pretty cool, I guess. But I'm glad it wasn't. I like what we do now. and, you know, it just wasn't an ideal idea. But sort of we only ever got it half baked, really, until it wasn't too long after we were trying it for a little bit that we realized it didn't really work. And also we were being, you know, we opened up more to each other about what our influences are musically outside of jazz and more in the realm of, you know, just your timeless hook songwriting.
Hmm. I'm glad you mentioned other influences, because as this band was first coming together, or early on, I guess I should say, Rachel, you had actually recorded a jazz record, and Bridget, the bass player here from the group, you had been on albums of another band that we are quite familiar with here, Joy Kills Sorrow. So at what point does the Lake Street Dive thing start to gel well enough where you realize, you know, we need 100% focus on this project and not 50% or 70% or something?
It was simultaneous. I mean, the band formed, 12 years ago, and I was not long after that started doing sort of the professional jazz circuit with my own band. And, you know, Bridget was in Joy Kills Sorrow, and Mike was in a country band, and there was like all kinds of things happening simultaneously. We were in college, and so we were still exploring that. And it was more like, those things just, while they were really valuable, this band got better and better all the time. And we became closer as friends all the time, and just it just kept growing to a point where I think we reached sort of a maturity level where we knew as sort of adults that the best way to do this career-wise was to be all in, 100%. And so we made that decision, and it was a great decision.
There was kind of a big moment with a video that got uploaded to YouTube that undoubtedly you guys have talked about 1,000 times at this point. And I want to get to that, but I also want to move beyond that to a couple of other experiences that have come about as a result of the popularity and awareness of that video. But let's hear another tune first. What do you guys want to do next?
This is a song we released on a 7-inch. It's called What I'm Doing Here. Nobody knows what I'm doing here, and I ain't got a clue. Messing around with these other fools when I'm not with you. There's been so many nights when I've longed for your touch. There's been so many days when our love was not enough. Oh,
that is Lake Street Dive live here on Jefferson Public Radio. Their newest record is called Bad Self Portraits. Information at lakestreetdive.com. Just before the tune, I referenced this video that got posted of you guys on a sidewalk covering a tune from Jackson 5. There have since been a number of follow-up videos of creative covers, unusual twists on songs that we all thought we knew. And this thing at this point, as of yesterday, is like 3.3 million views or something like that, which is incredible in its own right, but it has also turned on a number of really important people to your music, people that have discovered you and become fans of you. You ended up with gigs on Colbert. I think your first TV gig ever, right, was on mm-hmm. Stephen Colbert. Not a bad gig to land. Letterman, Ellen, all sorts of television appearances. And it seems like, in terms of a trajectory, this was not a straight line for you guys. This was a huge, huge uptick just in the last almost 2 years, something like that, where much, much bigger venues and bigger clubs. Has it been a little chaotic for you guys to see this kind of meteoric rise to your popularity and your success?
I think it's been an adjustment, but I mean, the thing that made it all so much easier is the fact that we did have so many years of touring on a smaller scale under our belts. So, you know, we had worked up our music to the point where you didn't have to like walk on a stage like the Colbert stage and be like, oh, I can't remember how this song goes. You know, it's like that part was almost automatic. Stuff like doing the Colbert like interview was like terrifying. This is the palest I've ever seen McDuck's face. Yeah, but again, like the fact that we all know each other and trust each other and are comfortable with one another, like that all makes like a drastic change in your popularity like so much easier.
Yeah. In addition to placings like Colbert or Ellen or something like that, which gets your name and your faces and your music in front of a huge number of people, you also had this really amazing opportunity to be part of this concert event that was organized to celebrate the music from the movie Inside Llewyn Davis. And just about all of the musical luminaries were on stage over the course of that night, right? I mean, it was like Milk Carton Kids, and I think Dave Rawlings, Gillian Welch, Joan Baez was there. Mm-hmm. T-Bone Burnett was the main guy behind the soundtrack to the movie and also that concert. And that seemed, if I understand correctly from what I've been reading, that seemed to put your names and faces and music in front of the musical luminaries, in addition to what television did to get your names out to sort of mass audience. So people are kind of starting to really pay attention to this band that, even though you guys have been around for a while, all of a sudden people know your names. Mm-hmm. People know your quality and what you can do. What kind of change has happened for you guys as a result of just having that kind of exposure to that kind of folk and those connections?
Well, I mean, yeah, there was an incredible amount of sort of like of the music, respected music critics in the audience that night. I think we got a write-up in Rolling Stone from that night. We got, I mean, that's how the label that we just signed with, which we're releasing our new album on next year, Nonesuch, which is just such a revered, incredible music label that we've all like grown up with and been listening to their catalog for years. That's how they heard us as well. And it definitely earned us like a lot of respect in the musical world, which, you know, was awesome for us. It was just, yeah, I mean, it feels really good to sort of get that nod from your peers when you've been doing something for 11 years or what are we in our 11th or our 12th right so now?
In May, it'll be 12.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it did a lot for our egos, for sure. And our confidence, really. I should say confidence. It was great. Mm. Yeah.
On the earlier EP and on Bad Self Portraits, there is old soul, there's Motown stuff, there's sort of Beatles-esque melodies going on. I have read and seen just a little bit about what to expect on this new record, which is due out early 2016, the one that you mentioned on Nonesuch. And what I have read says that there will be some new sounds. What are you guys doing with the band on the new songs on the record?
You'll have to just wait and see.
But it is due early 2016.
Yeah. The title exists.
All right, we have something to look forward to. Lake Street Dive, my guests today, live in the JPR studios, Rachel Price, Bridget Carney, Mike Calabrese, and Mike McDuck Olson. The new record that we know about so far is called Bad Self Portraits. Information is online at lakestreetdive.com. Before I let you go, I have to just ask about your fascination with Halloween. We just celebrated Halloween. You guys have been doing these special knockoff covers for Halloween for quite a few years now. How did that get started? Does one of you have a particular connection with Halloween?
I don't know whose idea
it was originally.
Was the first one?
ABBA.
That was the first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've always been really into making YouTube videos. YouTube has been like our biggest promotional tool by far.
Yeah.
It's been really great for us. And so, you know, we were always trying to think of things to put up on YouTube. And obviously the cover thing is sort of a tried and true method of the modern band. Cover a song that people can search and it'll get a lot of views. And so then, you know, we just had this idea to dress up as two guy, two girl bands. We started with ABBA and we've done Fleetwood Mac and the Mamas and the Papas.
But for 2015.
Well, we were running out of bands. There's not that many two guy, two girl bands. We've done most of them. We could have done Ace of Base, but we didn't really feel strongly enough about it. So anyway.
Sorry,
you know, also it's 2015, and gender is loose, and let's be modern. So
yeah.
We were Queen this year, and we learned all of Bohemian Rhapsody, which was just like a sort of a beautiful, wonderful, unifying task for us. We spent 3 weeks learning 30 seconds every day of it. It was quite an undertaking, but we loved it so much. It was so fun for us to learn.
And for folks that have not yet watched the extent of the video online, there's a bit of a surprise.
Oh, a chock full, I would say. It's a cornucopia.
So you have to sort of let it develop and unfold.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we like to be serious about the musicality of the learning of the song, but the actual video, it's a Halloween video, so it needs to be a little weird. Yeah. We like it. Yeah. We like to put, we're anything but serious in this band. If anything about this interview makes you think that we're anything less than ridiculous and silly all the time, then we're falsely misrepresenting ourselves, that is.
I love that sentence. That was my favorite sentence. This can be edited down, right?
And so watch the video. It's great.
Now. Anyway. Lake Street Dive, my guests today live in the JPR studios. Their newest release is called Bad Self Portraits. LakeStreetDive.com for information. What do you guys want to wrap with today?
We're going to do Bohemian Rhapsody. Just kidding. We can't do it like this. We're going to do another cover by Annie Lennox. Sugar, honey, if I can't have you, since you've abandoned me, my whole life has crashed. Won't you pick the pieces up, 'cause it feels just like I'm walking on broken glass.
That is Lake Street Dive live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Bad Self-Portraits. Information at lakestreetdive.com. Rachel Price on lead vocals, Bridget Carney on bass, Mike Calabrese on percussion, Mike McDuck Olson on trumpet and vocals. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Great to meet you.